Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Wilco Radio, Bazaria County, Texas, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, it's Monk and Fun Day. It's the 20th day of July, 2020. It's 12:04 Pacific Time. The Word from the Trenches is hosted by Henry Shively and John D., U.S. Marine fighting tyranny. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 712-770-5597. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 712-770-5597, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *69 mute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with John and myself today. It is currently 85 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 89 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. It's warm. Warm. Camping warm. Sitting here in my cell, thinking about camping. Anyway, how's the weather today out there in Nazi Joyzy, John?
Well, Henry, I tell you what, the heat's about as bad as the tyranny in this state. Right now, it did cool down earlier today. My temperature gauge did say 101. That's 101 degrees Fahrenheit. And, man, it's cooled down. It is now a balmy 93 degrees with about 55% humidity. So, comparatively, that's almost comfortable. Anyway, man, it is a baker out here. It's like living in an oven.
I hear you, man. It's been hot here. I mean, you go outside, man, you boof. It's like those in the winter when that cold goes right through your clothes, except it's the heat. But, you know, I'd rather have the heat than the cold. I don't care what nobody says. That being said, is there anything pissing you off today, brother?
Well, nothing pissing me off other than all the usual shit and variations of tyranny they keep heaping on us. But I did like that article we posted. I was going to send it in, but I saw someone did it, talking about this judge, this federal judge, whose family got shot and killed because she was just assigned to the Epstein case. But there's no connection, Henry. Don't think there's any connection. Remember what I said. It's not even Jeffrey Epstein or the prostituting and the pimping. There's something way deeper going on here that they've got to hide, and it's those Israeli ties, the Mossad, and the money. When you start following the trail of the money, you're not talking about millions, Henry. You're talking about billions at stake here.
Well, John, I'm sorry, but they've already solved that crime. The fella that did it and killed himself, and he was an attorney that had appeared before that judge a couple of years ago. So it was some kind of personal thing between them.
Well, of course, and of course he waited a few years before he decided to do something about it.
Uh-huh, and he killed himself. I mean, he went to all the trouble for a FedEx uniform and a mask and everything, and he must have just figured, now there's no way I'm going to get away with it. Boom. Right.
Yeah, exactly. He disguised himself so well. He went through all that effort, thought it all out, and then in the end he just decided to kill himself rather than just walk up to the door, shoot him, get in his car, and just drive away, because if he planned to kill himself, well, what difference does it make if they know his license plate or not?
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking, but I was afraid people would call me a conspiracy theorist, you know. I don't want that handle.
A conspiracy theorist?
Yeah, some kind of shit like that. Anyway,
from what I understand, he didn't get the judge. He just got her son.
Yeah, he just got the son and shot her husband. Yeah.
Yeah.
But as soon as he opened the door, the assailant, we'll just call him the assailant, it's the Mossad operative, blasted him in the chest, right in the heart.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's cooling off, not at the morgue, but probably over in Tel Aviv, kicking back, drinking some champagne. Yeah, I'm...
Well, Henry, don't worry, because you know what, in the end, they're going to rule this death, and the husband, I'm sure, he's going to die. If he isn't dead yet, well, don't worry, he'll die, because they can't have him talking. But they're going to just rule it a COVID-19 death.
Yeah, I'm sure he had COVID-19. Everybody does.
Well, everybody, that's right. If you've ever had a cold in your life, guess what? You're going to test positive.
And you're just not cosmopolitan. At any rate, the first
thing. All right, so what do you got, Henry?
I got a woman refuses to sign COVID-19 self-quarantine order, so she and hubby required to wear ankle monitor. And there's just all kinds of lawful things wrong with that. And we'll talk about it soon.
Well, Henry, now remember we talked about this years ago, that it was going to start off, that it was, you know, they just wanted to check you, and there was just going to be, what do they call them? Welfare checks on the interstate, you know, as you try and travel between states. Then they're going to decide that, you know what, it's becoming more serious, so we're going to have to limit travel in between states. Then they're going to have to start checking people. Next is going to your house, everybody's house, and, well, guess what? If you don't want to be swabbed, we're going to have to put an ankle bracelet on you.
Yeah, they're pushing for a nationwide COVID mask, I mean, mask-wearing law. I mean, not a law, but one of those suggestions,
mandate, order.
You know what I'm talking about. One of those unlawful dictates. Anyway, we're going to get into this as soon as we return.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
And John D. Anyways, here we go. Woman refuses to sign COVID-19 self-quarantine order, so she had her and hubby required. I love that word, required. I mean, you used to have fucking, it was law. You had a court order? Court order? No, you're just required. How am I required? Under what authority are you requiring me? Let me see your authority to require me to do anything. You know, that whole due process of the law thing is just, this has all been designed to just set it aside and act like it doesn't fucking exist, people. It's time to shoot them. When you have, like, Judge Napolitano, their fucking judge, their administrative admiralty judge, come up on nationwide TV and tell you they have zero authority, zip, zilch, nada, neither the state nor the federal government, to require or order or have any kind of penalty act as a goddamn dictator. And then they turn around and they do it again. Instead of their going out and arresting these criminals that have been identified by criminals by their own goddamn judge, even in the admiralty, they're criminals. But no. No, we're going to require things of you. We're going to required monitors. This is from activist post. It was sent by Galen Ford. Discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, a fucking criminal, because what he did was a fucking crime. It was, an admitted crime. He took this person's liberty away, these two people's liberty away, without due process of the law. They didn't have no charge filed against them. They didn't have no lawsuit filed against them. They did not have any preliminary processes in an indictment. And they sure as hell didn't have no jury trial. And they sure as hell didn't have no order from any jury to do anything that they could be required to do. I mean, they're just setting a precedent so that these son of a bitches just, oh, goddamn, a snowflake fell. We're declaring an emergency. Everybody go in your house. COVID-19 kicking up there. Oh, man. Anyway, where are we here? Andy Bashar has issued such strict and controversial executive COVID orders that the state's attorney general tried to block them. Bullshit. Well, I mean, how could you not be a, well, I guess if you don't have any fucking one to enforce the law, not even the goddamn admiralty bullshit they write down has any meaning. I've said it since I began broadcasting. There is no law in this country. There's no law in this fucking world. There is just the fucking elite, just like in the days of old with the kings and queens and the, you know, the crown heads of Europe. That's what you fucking have. Dictate at whim. Arbitrary dictate at whim. The Kentucky Supreme Court ruled, now this has already been declared, I mean, completely fucking lawless. The Kentucky Supreme Court ruled that his order, well, could remain at least for the time. What the fuck does that mean? You're supposed to be really ruling on whether is it lawful or unlawful. Which is, you know it's unlawful, but it can remain for the time. You can go ahead and violate the fucking supreme law of this land for a time. Until we decide, other words, all these unelected son of a bitches, these corporate appointed fucking star chamber judges, it can remain for a time. We can take your rights away for a time. No, you fucking can't. I've read the document. Ninth article says you can never have the authority to do it for 1 second, you lying son of a bitches. Now a couple is being...
Hey, Henry.
Yes, go ahead, Misty.
Hey, sorry to interrupt.
That's all right.
I was listening to the news this morning there about the mess that's going on in Portland, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was the governor. Is that a female y'all got?
Yeah, Kate Brown. I don't know if I'd call her a female. She's a rug licker. I don't know. Got a rug chin. I don't know. And she brags about it.
Okay. Anyway, it was really interesting to hear what she was talking about, you know, because they sent in supposedly the feds and blah, blah, blah. And which is a, kind of a freaky thing, you know, if they're pulling people off the streets, you know, mind you, whether or not it's true or not. But anyway, she said, yeah, and she was interviewed and on MSNBC, that's the only one I get. And anyways, and she goes, yeah, well, I just want to know what authority they have to do this. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, you are questioning this, the authority, yet you're telling everybody to wear a freaking mask? What authority do you have?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Neither one of them has authority. Trump doesn't have authority to order federal troops into a fucking state. I mean, the whole thing is a corporation. Yeah, you'd have to look in their corporate charters and see what corporate policy they're operating under today. That they can change arbitrarily just by 10 of them sitting down or 12 of them sitting down at a board committee. And just saying, well, this is what the law is going to be today and tomorrow or for next week. Or, you know, at least for a time being. Go ahead, sorry.
Unmarked vehicles and no badges. It was a revelation to me. You know what the translation of Russian KGB is to English?
Go for it.
Department of Homeland Security.
Exactly correct. That's what they put in their secret police. That's what they want is a federalized fucking... They want it plain and clear that there is a federal dictate at the top. But, I mean, but putting it out there, I mean, just like all the laws passed against our second article in states like California, Colorado, Connecticut, Rhode Island, I mean, New Jersey and New York. These are blatant violations of written... ratified fucking law, just like this is right here. You even had one of their fucking admiralty star chamber judges come in and say they do not have the authority to do this, yet they are doing it to you. Well, they do. You know, a person does not have the authority to, you know, break into my house and take my TV or rape my wife or anything else. And if he tries to do it, what am I supposed to do, John?
Well, according to them, you're supposed to just, cower in the corner.
Oh, God, and all this time I thought I was supposed to shoot him in the fucking face. I don't know, man. You mean come violating my fucking rights, huh?
Dial 911.
Yeah, that's a good one, Charlie. I never thought of that. Oh, my God.
So, Henry. Damn. Okay, Henry, so what do you think? Because, so what's this game they're playing? You know, like I say, she's going, well, that's violating the people's Fifth Amendment, right? You know, but, do you think that's the gig here?
It's violating
that
the whole
deal. They're wanting to set up a police state?
Well, absolutely.
Worse than it already is.
Well, yeah, because what was being described here, like I think it was Charlie or one of them said, that, you know, unmarked cars and fucking plainclothes. Fucking, that sounds like secret police. That sounds like fucking Soviet Russia to me. I don't know. That's just, you know, it sure as hell ain't due process of the law. Like I said, there was never one paper filed in any court, and only a court can do, or last time I mean, even under their theory of law, only the court can order, can it? And I mean, if somebody is going to try and make up something under color of law, that's only supposed to be the legislature. All the executives ever had the power to do was to enforce the law. And if there is no law in place, I mean, this is going to be their argument, you know, that all we got to do is legislate it and we can do it. No, your legislator can't do it either, because the ninth article blocks it. You cannot have that power. Go ahead.
They got Xerox copies of their court order.
I'm sure they do. The bottom line here is think about it, people. It wasn't that long ago that it was pretty much common understanding in this country that if you tried to force somebody to do something, you had to go to court. And they had a right to a jury trial, even in the admiralty. I mean, you had to play the fucking game, at least pretend there was some kind of law. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I read somewhere that the governor of Portland, you know, the mayor, the governor, Portland, is colluding with the police chief, and they're getting together and making all these fucking rules on their own. Welcome to the military police. I mean, it's the police putting on a military uniform and dragging people out the fucking street.
That's exactly what it is, Mark. But see, they're their own corporates. What you're seeing happen in Portland is planned between the two. I mean, they're trying to put this adversary thing out there. It's like Trump's, I'm going to stop the violence. And, you know, I've got another article up here about breaking off and going to Idaho. The fucking people could shut this down in a day. Just go to fucking Portland and clear the goddamn streets. Go over to the goddamn offices, state offices. Drag them son of a bitches out into the square. Pick a fucking jury. And right there, right amongst them people, elect a fucking sheriff, elect a fucking coroner, and elect a fucking judge, and fucking try him and hang him right there, right then and there. All it would take is one fucking place like Portland. You know, about, you know, 20,000 people just come in, because they're on the outskirts, man. You get outside of that fucking city, man, and there's so many people that are fucking so sick of this shit that you can't believe it. Just walk into town with your fucking guns. You want to shoot? You want to shoot against us? They would be trying to get fucking Northcom in there. They'd be fucking doing everything. But before they could do it, you could be sitting there and you would have the whole fucking place took over. Just like the goddamn communists have. I mean, they let the communists have come in and fucking, well, they've taken over the city of Portland. And this a government of, for, and by the people here to protect our sovereignty and our rights has just, well, they've actually aided and abetted. Like you said, the mayor of Portland it's a dude, I can't think of his fucking name, but we've said this all along, that the police and Antifa and the anarchists are one. I mean, when you have a guy coming up with a blackjack thing to bust a guy's window out because, you know, he's just stopped because you don't tell him he can't go down one of the public fucking roads he paid for. And you have a cop sitting a half a block away watching it happen. And well, then I think that they're in on it together, personally.
Yeah, the corporation is paying off a lot of people to do this shit. You know, there's got to be big money changing hands somewhere.
It's financed at the top, and of course they have to. You know, how can somebody stay out 51? I was saying, you know, if I went out in the woods camping 51 days, you got to sustain your life. And man, these people, I always got clean clothes on. They're out there, and they're out there every fucking night. You know, fucking 51 days in a row. Who's supporting their asses? Who's feeding them? Because you're talking to, I mean, they're not a huge fucking force by any means. Like I said, the people from the outskirts could come into town and just, they could fucking waste them in a day. They could run them clear out of fucking Portland and hang what they could catch, what they couldn't catch, and keep on running, I'm sure. But somebody, yeah, it's like Soros, I mean, it's financed. It's well fucking financed. This is a goddamn, this is a attempted fucking revolution. And it is a revolution because they are Marxists and they want Marxism. They're trying to change what this fucking government's supposed to be. But the reason they're getting away with it is because the mechanism, people out there are thinking we got the Constitution in place and we got the Bill of Rights and everything. But they don't realize that that's been fucking removed. This is a corporate fucking, this is a hostile corporate takeover. It's a way different than a real revolution. But hell, any port in a storm when you want to take a country over, I suppose. But the people shouldn't be allowing it. The people should come to town and beat those bastards down. I mean, shoot them out of there. What are they going to do if 10,000 of you come to town and just shoot the fuck out of them? What are they going to do? How are they going to sort you out even?
Hey, Henry.
Yes, sir.
Hey, let me show you how deep the brainwashing is, man. I was talking to a gentleman. He was older. He's probably about 20 years, 25 years older than I am. And I asked him, I said, how do you think that you live in a free country? And the government tells you what to do. I thought we supposed to tell them what to do. And he looked at me with a gaze. He couldn't answer the question. They have no business telling us what to do. They are servants. They are not our masters.
That's
and
right.
That's what we must install in people. They don't supposed to tell us what to do. How is this not slavery if they steal money from us and call us taxes and tell us what to do?
Well, of course it's slavery. I mean, they wrote it out in the 14th Amendment. I mean, that is written so clearly that you are a subject. You cannot be a subject and a freeman at the same time. I mean, they're in other cultures like the Spartans and stuff, they had the freemen, the faggots that lived up on the hill and trained for war, and then they had the goddamn subjects. The people that down there that dug and did all the work and you know, grew the food and built the buildings and stuff. And that's been understood since time immemorial. You can't be a subject and a free man at the same time. But this goddamn corporation, it's the corporation thing. This is lawyer bullshit. A turned fucking words. Twisting of words. I mean, like I said, I sat here last week and I watched the fucking videos up on the site of that Napolitano. Now, he was a Star Chamber district, federal district court fucking judge. And he said, and these are his words, not mine. The state nor the federal government has no authority to order any American to do anything.
How can that be was? I thought that was a lifetime position.
Pardon?
This to any kind of federal judge is a lifetime thing.
But at least you're playing the game. You have a court order. These guys aren't. I mean, this is just like me walking up to your house and opening your door and telling you to put a leg bracelet on, Charlie. Can I do that?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm off subject a little, but I'm just saying, you said that he used to be I didn't know you could used to be one. I thought you were one for life.
I'm sure he is, but I mean, you talk about a revealing, but for one of their Star Chamber judges is what all I'm saying, to come on to national television and tell you that they absolutely do not have this authority. If they do not have the authority, it's like me coming to your fucking house. I am an intruder. I am breaking the law. And I mean, you have this ex, judge for life. But you have this Star Chamber judge telling you that they cannot do this. I mean, it's like if you did go through their fucking admiralty court and you got an order from that court saying that, they can't take your land for fracking a certain, or to run a pipeline or what might have. You got the goddamn court order in your hand and they just come out the next day and, oh, we're going to do it anyway. Wait a minute. That's against the law. I've got the order. Fucking fuck you and fuck your order. There is no goddamn law. And there sure as hell isn't the law they're supposed to be. Well, this person was denied of her liberty, and her and her husband, without any due process of the law. And that's what they have to get rid of in order to have a one world order. You cannot have due process of the law and a one world elitist fucking rule where they rule at a whim, arbitrarily, at dictate. This is a dictate. I'm dictating to you, and like I said, I can't come to your house, Charlie, and tell you that you have to fucking put a leg bracelet on. You tell me to fuck off.
Yeah, but you're not a federal judge.
This isn't a federal fucking judge doing this.
I understand.
This is a private corporation. CDC, so it's a corporation. How about the guy from Walmart? Can he come to your goddamn house and order you about?
I mean, I may have told you the story, but back in 2016, I spent 3 years fighting this broken, burned out taillight being a crime, and I appealed it to the New Orleans Court of Appeals, and I won. And they said they don't have jurisdiction, and they dismissed it. And so, anyway, this judge, he came and got me at work, okay? I'm in my airline pilot uniform, and they dragged me off the plane in handcuffs.
You're kidding me.
Made me come and pay them $250 out there in the lobby in front of all the passengers and... Oh, yeah, they can, I mean...
After the appeal, right?
Yeah, I had the piece of paper, the appeal.
See, there's no law, people. That's why these anarchists and shit are running in this wild in the fucking streets. Why won't you? Well, you're trying to hold yourself to something that doesn't exist for some kind of reason. Just fear. What are you afraid of? That cop over there that's lawless? That cop that can't exist? That corporate enforcer? I mean, this is what it has come down to. They're telling you straight up, yeah, I don't have any authority, but you're going to do it anyway. Bam! Do that to me, I will shoot you in the fucking face. I swear to God I will.
This judge, same judge, that he said it was okay for these cops to take $20,000 from this woman in an SUV because she had a, you know, a 100 Club sticker on her car, you know, being pro-police.
Oh, well, there you go.
That was reason for suspicion because she was trying to hide behind that sticker, and that was enough reason to stop and search her car and take her money.
This country is in a state of anarchy. Why is it in a state of... Remember, I preached against anarchy. All these people go, oh, anarchy's what we want to do. You fucking traitors. You fucking communists, like I said you were. Anarchy means there is no law. So if it's anarchy, why in the hell don't we go out there and want to play the anarchy game? We got 40 million fucking guns loaded, ready to play.
Self-government. It's the least amount of government.
The least amount of government is self-government under the Bill of Rights, and it's goddamn straight-up honest government. But goddamn it, how do you enforce a fucking anything without law? If I can outshoot you, well, I'll just go the old west and see who can draw the fastest. Is that the fucking law? Because that's what anarchy is. It is complete without law.
You have to have a peaceful way to settle things, or else, like, just like when they took our fucking common law courts away, they removed our peaceful way to settle, to get a fucking lawful court order from a fucking common law jury, which is the only fucking jurisdiction that can be applied to an American national. They took it away. All we got left is, you're either going to shoot it out with these fuckers, or they're going to put their heel on your fucking neck and you're going to be a fucking slave until they decide to take you over to the fucking pit and give you your 40 caliber lobotomy. Plain and simple. Fight or die.
Where are these people being taken to? I mean, they're being dragged out the street. Where are they going to a camp? Where the hell are they going?
They're going in their house where they're quarantined because they refuse to sign the paper to voluntarily, because there is no law to force them. So they wanted them to sign a paper to give up their fucking rights and voluntarily quarantine themselves. When they wouldn't, remember we talked about something else, they just wanted to volunteer this or volunteer that. When they wouldn't volunteer, then they just fucking, they use brute force to fucking force them. No court order. No appearance in court. No fucking common law. You're guaranteed a goddamn jury. I'm stupid. I mean, wipe your ass with that Bill of Rights if you want to enforce it. Right there, then people should have shot them. They would have been in the right. Because they had no court order to order them to do. They had no authority. It's just like fucking Kate Brown asking for the federal authority for him to send federal fucking police into fucking Portland. It don't exist. This is all corporate fucking fraud. It has been for fucking, well, since 1869 or 1871 anyway. When they created when they brought the Admiralty onto the fucking shores of America. It's been a fraud. It's been a fraud since they declared since they chartered a corporation and replaced the republic with it. In violation of the law. They're criminals. They are fucking low-life fucking criminals. And what you do with low-life fucking criminals, when it's force majeure because there is no law, is you shoot the son of a bitches. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated and needed. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 4:41 Pacific Time, and that was Social Distortion down here with the rest of us. And more, I'm telling you, they're heading up the food chain. They're heading up the ladder, man. They're getting, I mean, these people who thought they were middle class and it was just these, you know, these lazy bums out there that, you know, 100 million of them that had their jobs taken away from them in 2008. It's just, oh, this is too bad for them. I've got my motor home. I've got my goodies and all my shit, man. And they won't bother me. Well, they're fixing to bother you, you dumb motherfuckers. They're fixing to put you down here with the rest of us. That being said,
I want to add quickly to my story where the federal cops come and got me in my uniform at the airport. I picked up that trip on a Saturday morning. I mean, it was just a few hours before. They didn't know my schedule. And I'm guessing that when I went through TSA security, there was a note on the file, you know, do not alert the guy, you know, call police or whatever. Because nobody knew when I would be at the airport.
Well, that's your law. That's what Trump is selling from the top. Hey, this is the justice system. He just sent his private fucking enforcers to Portland, Oregon. Anyways, guys, it is time for the tactical report. So I'm going to turn this over to John D., U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny, and let him have a rip at it.
All right, Henry. Thank you very much. And yes, they do keep those watch lists going in the TSA list. Well, that's one, your no-fly list or your TA list. Yes, they flag your name all over the place. And when they got you in a location where you know you can't just quickly evacuate yourself, that's when they're most likely to pounce on you. You're damn right, because we're just living in the new Soviet system. That's all we're doing, people. When we have a government, the government obeys laws. When you have a criminal cartel masquerading as a government, well, that's an enemy force and occupation, isn't it? I think we've heard that term before here. All right, let's get moving here. I am John D., U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny. This is the Tactical Report. It is Monday, July 20th, 2020, and it is a cooker out there. Like I said, my thermometer earlier today said 101 degrees, and that thermometer was in the shade. I mean, it's actually cooled down now. Now it's a balmy 93 degrees. Anyway, it is 1543. That's 343 to all you civilians out there. And to all the idiots who think we actually have some form of legitimate government, Mickey's little hand is past the 3 and his big hand is pointing the 8 at the 8. And the 8's the little thing. Kind of looks like a little snowman. A little circle, one on top of the other. All right, let's get moving here. I got a couple of interesting things to cover. This weekend, I was digging through doing some research on this idea, this notion of the currency collapsing. You know, there is no such thing as a U.S. dollar. It's a Federal Reserve note created by the Federal Reserve System, which is the central banking system created by the Rothschilds, which is an international system of communism for international communism. That's what the Federal Reserve System is for, people. When you spend a U.S. dollar, you're spending a zoller, a Zionist Jew note, because that's why the Rothschilds created Israel, was so that it had a nation-state status for its terrorist organization called Israel. And, of course, it was the Zionist Jews that created the Federal Reserve. And they created it for the purpose of international communism. For this moment here, it's all coming to a head, people, and the financial system is just one of the mechanisms of control. An important one, but just one of the mechanisms. Now, I was doing some research about this potential for what we're going to call the devaluation, the crash of all the global currencies, because they're all fiat currencies, meaning there's nothing backing them. Now, the term fiat currency, all that means is decreed or legally required currency. And that in and of itself may not be a bad thing, but in our case, and in the case of humankind right now, it is a bad thing, because nothing is backing any of the global currencies, despite the talk about China's going to back their yuan with gold someday. Well, that someday ain't here yet, now is it? So they're all equally worthless, or as Voltaire said, the intrinsic values of fiat currency is zero. Or, excuse me, I'm trying to think of a phrase. He said the intrinsic value of fiat currencies always tend, fiat currencies always tend towards their intrinsic value of zero. That's what he said. Excuse me. So we are looking at a potential hyperinflation situation, and a hyperinflation situation is not that the prices rise. It's that the purchasing power of the currency is lost. So it takes more currency to buy the same kind of items you're accustomed to buying. Milk, bread, car parts, gasoline, even paying your utility bills, because you'll see them escalate also as the currency starts its crashing process. So we've been talking about the potential for a hyperinflation involving the world reserve currency, this U.S. dollar, this U.S. dollar, this Federal Reserve note, the certificate of international communist enslavement. That's what it is. It's not money. It's currency. It's not even currency. It's a trick, a con, a fraud that has been heaped upon humanity because it is international and it's used by virtually every country. So yes, it affects virtually every person on the planet. And it is a con, a fraud designed to lower you into a trap, to bring you into a trap. Remember, how does a trap work? How does an ambush work? Well, there is something you need to go, or somewhere you need to go, and it looks very safe. It looks like it's safe to use, or safe to use as a conduit, as a method of transit. But in fact, that's where the kill box is. And soon as you're in it, that's when they trip the trap, right? That's what an ambush is. And you're in the kill box, so your chances of getting out of there are pretty damn slim. Well, that's what this currency is. It's an ambush, a trick, a con. And it's designed to kill off humanity at some point. And one of the ways they're going to do it is make it virtually impossible for any of the economies to function. And when economies don't function, people start to starve to death. People start to riot. There's civil unrest. People start to kill each other. Hell, there's plenty of instances, plenty of recorded events in history where people started to eat each other because there was nothing else to eat. In fact, during France, when the French Revolution happened because of the currency crash, there were reported instances of cannibalism where people were eating people, and in fact, it became so commonplace that they had like black markets, like Turkish bazaars, where you can go down and buy chunks of human to eat. And what happened is, after France started recovering, after the French Revolution, and the society started to, you know, somewhat reassemble itself, it turned out some people had a taste for human flesh, and they didn't want to give it up. I know that sounds bizarre and sickening, but this was a fact. And in fact, it was so hard to get them to stop that France actually had to pass laws to make it a crime to eat human flesh. Well, I'm sure they'll do that here someday.
Normal. All right. Normal for the French.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. So I just wanted to mention that because I was doing a lot of research into this potential, and there's been a lot of response to that video I had posted last week by Alistair MacLeod. Alistair MacLeod, and he's over, if I remember right, he's British, and he was talking about the coming COMEX default, or the force majeure, as they're going to call it. And he was talking about how that's going to affect the currencies and lead to hyperinflation of all the global currencies, including the U.S. dollar. Now, his prediction, which is very unusual because Alistair MacLeod seems to be very well respected. He's known for being very, very conservative in his estimates, but yet he put himself out on a limb with this one, actually giving an expected time frame that by the end of this year, we could see hyperinflation or at least a strong suggestion of hyperinflation starting, meaning currency devaluation, which of course means prices rise, and that's going to affect everybody. Now, there was a lot of people talking about this in the commodities markets, the experts, Jim Willey, Egon von Greyers, James Turk. Everybody seemed to comment about this, and they were all pretty much equally surprised that Alistair MacLeod had put himself on the limb by making a timetable prediction, which again, he normally never does. And then, of course, they went out on the limb themselves and saying, look, I don't know if it'll happen, but certainly all the conditions there are there to happen. Meaning, yes, it could happen or it should happen. Of course, the system is complete fraud, so as long as they can keep the fraud going, the system will appear to work. But the fact is, The system should have crashed a long time ago. In fact, decades ago. In fact, as soon as Nixon took us off the gold standard back in 1971, and that was August the 15th, if I remember right, well, by August 17th of 1971, you should have seen the U.S. dollar starting to hyperinflate because that was a technical default. That was the U.S. defaulting on its obligation to back its currency with dollars, with gold, excuse me. So it should have happened then, but it didn't. And that's because the whole system is rigged. It's a fraud. It's a con. And they wanted it to continue to operate for a bit longer because it was serving their purpose. Now, the question is, what is their purpose now? Well, their purpose now seems to be that they want civil unrest, that they want anxiety. They want people to go broke. They want the economy to break. They want mass debt everywhere in every country, which they already have. I mean, the United States, we're at almost $26 trillion. We're adding almost $1 trillion a month now. Remember, it took nearly 192 years to accrue the first $1 trillion in debt. We now do that in about a month. So, yes, the system is clearly blowing apart or imploding. And, of course, that is going to lead to hyperinflation at some point or the devaluation of the currency. It's just a question of when and what preparations are you going to make for that. Because once the currency devalues, you're not going to be able to use the currency for what you want to buy. You're going to move to a barter system, and you're going to move into quasi-money systems. And a quasi-money system is something that's basically used like money, even though it's not officially the money system yet. And, of course, that's going to be gold, silver, or other precious items that people need. Food may become a quasi-item when starvation's occurring. Certainly things like bullets can become currency because they certainly have a much better shelf life than any kind of food. And then, of course, silver and gold will become a quasi-financial or currency system or money system. The question is, will it ever be adapted as an official system? That's up to debate because they get away with too much when they use these fiat currency systems. They just get away with too much corruption to actually hem themselves in or chain themselves down with a real money system. They don't want that. It doesn't serve their interest. What serves their interest is having a system that they can get away with massive corruption and theft with, and that's what they currently have. All right, so I mentioned all this because they were talking about a coming force majeure in the COMEX system, and this may be the signal that the devaluation, the hyperinflation, is going to start in earnest. Now, what's the force majeure in the COMEX system? That is, there are far more orders or open contracts for silver and gold than there is silver and gold that can be delivered. Now, in other words, there was way more demand for it in the form of contracts than there is their ability to fill those contracts. At what point they're going to declare force majeure when people start demanding delivery of actual physical gold and silver, and they can't. Now, a force majeure in and of itself is, and then in law it's quoted as, unforeseeable circumstances that prevent someone from fulfilling a contract. Unforeseeable circumstances that prevent someone from fulfilling a contract. Well, running out of gold and silver, having a fraudulent or corrupt monetary and financial system is very foreseeable. So what they're going to do is they're going to lie about this force majeure because it's not a force majeure. They know it's coming because they created the conditions for it. They know there's going to be a liquidity problem in gold and silver. They're not going to be able to make delivery on all these contracts. And then they're going to, as a cover story, they're going to declare force majeure. We didn't see this coming. They're going to pay all those contracts in worthless currencies, and then they're going to tell people, be happy you got that. Well, according to Alistair MacLeod and many of these other precious metal dealers and fund managers, that is going to be the signal, the tripwire, that's going to declare that it is time for the hyperinflation to start, because that's when total confidence in the financial system should be lost or will largely be lost. And when that happens, that is when you're going to see one derivative after another start crashing. And when they start crashing, that's when you're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars going unpaid or unsatisfied. All those contracts are going to go into default. And when that happens, that is when you have a true global collapse of your financial system. So anyway, that should be coming. or at least according to all the experts. But I thought it was interesting that so many people have been talking about this interview that Alistair McLeod gave a week ago that I posted the video of, and many, many what I call reliable people, people who are well-intended to try and get the truth out there, they've all been talking about this interview by Alistair McLeod. All right. Let's get moving here. Now, Henry mentioned Centers for Disease Control, and in case you're just a little confused about this, go on over to Dun & Bradstreet. Dun & Bradstreet is a commercial listing service, a business directory, and it's Dun, D-U-N, Dun & Bradstreet, and all you type in is Dun & Bradstreet, hyphen, Centers for Disease Control, and the listing comes right up underneath their corporate business listings. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That's the full name. 1600 Cliffwood Road, Northeast, Atlanta, Georgia. Company type, corporation subsidiary. It does not say it is an agency of the U.S. government or the U.S. federal government or even the corporate federal government, as Henry has pointed out many times. It just calls it a corporation subsidiary. Now, when you roll down, it talks about how it works with the U.S. government and all that. But when you roll down further, it actually talks about how it's a corporate family, that the government of the United States is actually the ultimate corporate parent. Where have we heard that before? I think Henry's mentioned it just once or twice. So if there's any confusion, agency or part of the U.S. government, or is it part of this criminal cartel, and actually it's actually a corporation, go on over to Dun & Bradstreet. They're listed right there. All right, let's get moving. Now, I sent in this article. I meant to send it in last week. Now, on our site, we had an article talking about how this judge's family, who just got assigned the case of Jeffrey Epstein, the judge's family, the judge got the case assigned. It was apparently a female. Got the case assigned last week. This week, someone shows up in a FedEx chute. The son answers the door. The guy wearing the FedEx suit puts a couple of bullets into his heart. Apparently the father, which is the husband of the judge, and here's the noise, goes up there to investigate. He gets shot. And then, of course, the judge herself was not right there in the vicinity, so the person took off, the Mossad agent took off. And, of course, they're declaring this. It seems to be an act of mistaken identity. And they're saying that this assailant, this assassin, was nothing more than a disgruntled lawyer who had argued a case before the judge some 5 years ago but suddenly felt the need to do something about it. Never explained, well, okay, so they argued a case in front of the judge. What happened? Never talked about it. Did they exchange any personal words? Was there any kind of heated confrontation after the so-called case? No, none of that. Apparently this lawyer, though, felt the need after 5 years to suddenly go get reparations or retaliation because, well, apparently they argued a case in front of the judge, which is what all lawyers do. So apparently they found what you would call a fall guy. They killed this poor guy. I bet you he didn't even know anything about this. He was probably just going around his business, suddenly someone shows up at his door, puts a bullet in his head. They threw up a FedEx package in the back of his car, and now they're saying, well, see, there's your proof. There's your proof this guy did it. We found the gun. We found the FedEx package. No, it's not case closed, people. Remember what I told you. It turns out that the Epstein case is not even about Jeffrey Epstein. Ghislaine Maxwell is actually at the center of this, and this is generational now for their family. They're Mossad operatives, Israeli intelligence service operatives, generational. And not only pedophile and satanic ritual bait, meaning getting kids, that they will use and kill in these satanic rituals, but they're doing a lot more. You follow the money. Follow the business interests, because nowhere does it say, where did Jeffrey Epstein get his $100 million to go buy this island? Where did Jeffrey Epstein get all the money that he's supposedly a billionaire, when it doesn't seem he had any ability to make any business decisions whatsoever? He's an idiot. But apparently he's brilliant enough to accrue a $1 billion without ever having to lift his fingers. But they never said where the money came from. So there's a lot more work, especially its connection to Israel, into these honey traps, into the corruption, coercion, and control of state figures of state head. And, of course, you're talking about our congressmen and senators and judges also, guaranteed. Now, there's another person involved with this that nobody knows about, called Nicole Yunkerman. Now, I just sent this article in. I was supposed to send it in last week. I forgot, but I did send it in a little while ago, so I'm sure Laura will post it up there in a little while. And the title is The Epstein Associate Nobody's Talking About, the IDF, Israeli Defense Force, Linked Bond Girl Infiltrating the UK NHS, and that's United Kingdom National Health System. And they call the Bond Girl dude, you know, the James Bond and the spy agency and all that. So apparently, there's a lot more to this girl, Nicole Yunkerman, and she seems to be much closer to the center of the spider web than even Ghislaine Maxwell is. So they've got to keep this stuff from becoming public knowledge. They've got to go after any judge who thinks they're going to be able to remain honest and try and, you know, honestly investigate this. No judge is going to honestly investigate anything. No judge is honest. They are all corrupt. They are all compromised, every single one of them. But it's interesting that this judge only had the case for a week and already they tried to assassinate her, Mr. Mark, and killed the son. But that doesn't mean this is the end of the story. So this is an interesting link, another piece of the puzzle to help bring the picture into view, into clarity, so we can understand what it is, what we're dealing with, and the magnitude of what we're dealing with. All right. Going on. Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, remember, this is over in Sputnik News, which is Russian news. Article. Ask Prince Andrew, and that's a quote, and that's a quote made by Donald Trump. Ask Prince Andrew, and they didn't quote the whole quote. Resurfaced video shows Trump commenting on Epstein's private island. Well, it turns out that in 2015, Donald Trump had made a very, very provocative statement talking about Epstein, Epstein's island, and Prince Andrew. And it's on video. And he said, that island was really a cesspool. There's no question about it. Just ask Prince Andrew. He'll tell you all about it. And I'm sure there's a lot more to that, too. So, of course, Donald Trump knows about Epstein and Epstein Island and Prince Andrew's involvement with all this. But do you hear anything about the FBI going to interview Donald Trump about this? No, of course not. Remember what I told you. The FBI's job is to protect the communist insurgency in this country and all the mechanisms of that communist insurgency. And Jeffrey Epstein and his little brownstone operation, his little honeypot trap, and all of the blackmailing operations he had going, including money laundering and drug laundering and everything else, those are all to be protected by the FBI, not exposed. All right. Let's see here. All right. So I see I've reached the top of the hour. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. Tomorrow I'm just going to skip over any news, and we're going to get right into this notion about the bug-out bag, the items you may want to make sure you have in yours, and, of course, what we're going to talk about, too, is stresses and loading, something called loading. Loading, and when I say loading, I don't mean just the weight of the backpack on your shoulder. Far from that. We're going to be talking about stresses, loading, and how all this is going to affect your combat effectiveness, and what are some of the things that you want to have in your backpack, in your bug-out bag, to help mitigate some of the destructive effects of the stresses and certain types of loadings you're going to encounter if you have to actually use that bug-out bag or you're in a set of circumstances that requires you to consider using that bug-out bag. So we're going to get into that in earnest, and we're going to be spending the rest of the week doing that. So unless there's any questions or comments, I'm going to hand this back to my friend, my mentor, and my fellow patriot, Henry Shively. Going once. Okay, on you, Henry.
Excellent report, John. God, the insanity. We guarantee it every day, complete insanity. I'm not going to go into this article.
It's astounding. And, Henry, more and more of it's becoming, is coming out, like the murder of this judge's family, because the judge was clearly the target. And it shows you how desperate and how urgent it is for the Mossad and Israel to make sure none of this stuff comes to light.
Yeah, but what a tangled web they are weaving. I mean, it's, I don't know. I guess that there was a lawyer that had a bad day in front of the judge, and he decided to kill her 5 years later and killed himself.
Yeah, just out of nowhere, Henry, because the lawyer had a good practice going, probably married. I bet you had a family. But you know what? He's still pissed off about this, whatever argument was that didn't go right 5 years ago. He was just still pissed off about that, Henry.
Well, he really loved his client. I'm sure of that. At any rate.
Because, you know, lawyers, which are officers of the court, they all really love their clients, especially when they pay the money.
Yes, they do. We have this article, Rural Oregon Seeks to Join Idaho as Portland Rioting Escalates. And, I mean, I'm going to tell you guys something out there. I mean, there's a lot of people that are going to go, this is going to be why they go out and vote. Like, fucking changing the line is going to change the people that's there. You're going to, the reason that Idaho wants that territory is because it has uranium, silver, and gold. Okay, that's why Idaho's making
it. No, so, Henry.
And that's the exact reason that the Corporation of Oregon is never going to let go of it. So you're going to fight these fuckers. I mean, you're not going to, you want to run. I know you want to run, you fucking cowards. But there ain't going to be nowhere to run for, because I'm telling you, I guarantee you right now this day, what are we at here, the 20th day of July 2020, this will never happen. And if it did happen, it ain't going to move them no further away from you.
Now, Henry, now supposedly, what was it, Oklahoma, I think it was, the courts just gave away half of Oklahoma to as an Indian reservation, and people said that would never happen.
Did they really? Wow.
Oh, yeah, that was all last week. I forgot to mention it. I don't remember if we had an article up on the site. I don't remember if it was Oklahoma. I forget what state it was. But the Supreme Court declared that half of that state now belongs to that Indian tribe, that Indian reservation.
Well, they're going to continue to make their dictates their regulations, and they're going to keep playing. They're going to push you till you shoot. Hey, maybe you're too cowardly to shoot. Maybe they're going to find out if you're too cowardly to shoot. If you can be taken out like the fucking Russians, like the Chinese, if you just do not have the fucking cojones to stand your fucking ground, they're going to find out. And this rural Oregon thing, I'm telling y'all, you guys stupid asses, I gotta go vote Republican. It's my only chance we get to Idaho to save my guns. Oh, you fucking cowards. You are surrendering your state.
No, Henry, don't forget, they'll be hiding behind the toilet paper forts.
Oh, I know. But what you're doing is surrendering the state of Oregon because you're fucking yellow. That's what you're fucking doing. Anyway, we are past the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast, The Word from the Trenches. And until then, I mean, they even talk about them fleeing. Are you going to flee? Are you going to run away? Where are you going to run to? Idaho? Idaho's already going to be occupied by fucking communists. They'll just continue the invasion. You think they can't flood Boise and fucking Quartermain and fucking all the rest of Idaho just like they did Oregon? You think that ain't where they're headed? Hey, I mean, you think that you can run from this shit? Because you can't run from it. You will either acquiesce and you will end up at that ditch on your fucking knees, shit in your fucking pants, waiting for that bullet to go through your head, or you will fight. It's going to be up to you. Each individual one of you. What the fuck you got that gun for? Does it make you run faster? When you're running away from the fucking enemy that's weak? A fucking tiny little fucking fraction of the fucking population? You fucking cowards. And that is The Word from the Trenches.